Hello, PWS community. This is Susan Hedstrom, Executive Director for FPWR. And joining me today is Patrice Carroll, Director of PWS Services at Latham Centers in Cape Cod. We have invited Patrice to talk a bit about routines and schedules to help our loved ones with increased anxiety, given that their daily life has been turned upside down by COVID-19, as has all of ours. Patrice, perhaps we could start a little bit with a little about yourself and your role at Latham.
Sure. Hi. Thanks for having me on. I am, as you said, the director of PWS services at Latham, and I provide lots of clinical oversight to the individuals and students at Latham. We have just over 100 children and adults living with us who are diagnosed with PWS. I ensure that we're following all best practices, especially when unusual circumstances come up, which, as you can imagine, with over 100 individuals, that happens quite a bit. And I do staff training, both new staff training and ongoing, and lots of consultation for schools and agencies throughout the country. I have been working with children and adults with PWS for, it's going on about 19 years now. So I've been in the field for quite some time, and quite honestly, there isn't anything else I'd rather be doing.
So Patrice, I thought that, you know, given your experience today, you could really help share with us perhaps some advice and suggestions for how we can deal with this alleviated stress in today's environment. So, yeah. You know, changes in routine, they can be really big stressors for our loved ones with PWS. Could you give us some strategies to help reduce anxiety during these challenging times?
Yeah, I think that the first thing that we need to do and the most important thing that we need to do is check ourselves as caregivers, check our level of anxiety, because they watch and they listen and they react very strongly to how we're feeling. So really the first thing that we need to do is make sure that we're at least appearing okay around them, right? So we're not super, super stressed. We're not staring at the TV all the time. We're not talking to people on the phone with that they're overhearing that we're worried about supplies in the house, food in the house. That's going to be a really big one. And make sure that your presentation around them is as calm as it can be, because they're going to react to how you're feeling. This is not a normal time. Nobody has ever gone through this before, at least not in our lifetimes. So it's going to be very, very important that we create an environment that when they're older, and this goes for your typical kids too, they look back and say, yeah, there was a time that we were out of school for a while, we were in the house, and that it's not, we don't create a traumatic childhood experience from this happening. So with that being said, they are going to be anxious because they're not in their normal routine. They're not seeing the friends they're used to seeing. They're not doing the outdoor activities that they're used to doing. So there is going to be a natural high anxiety that comes from this. You can alleviate that, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, a little bit later. You can alleviate that with a schedule, right, with a routine. You will not have the same routine that they had in school. You don't need to have an every half hour routine. What you do need to have is, we're going to get up around the same time. We're going to eat around the same time. The morning is going to be this loose category, and the afternoon will be these categories, and then we go to bed at the same time. That's the schedule I mean. I don't mean like a schedule like a classroom where you have every half hour, every 15 minutes written down up on the board. You're not going to be able to do that.
So let's talk a little bit about that schedule, because that was the first thing I did in my family. You know, my own typical kids strive on routine. I strive on routine. So we implemented one, and immediately I saw that my two typical kids were feeling better. I was feeling better. But strangely enough, this routine that I thought was going to help my Prader Willi child, he's really resisting getting on board with this routine. He's great at screen time. We have an hour for screen time. Yeah. He's on top of that, but there is no getting on board with academic time or going outside time. So how do we actually implement this schedule if our children are resistant to getting on board?
In order to do any sort of, anything new, there's a few things that need to happen. The first one is that you need buy-in. If he can or she can develop that schedule with you, they're going to be much more likely to do it. So if you have, even if you have to, you know, have index cards with several different activities, they create the schedule for the day. They're more likely to stick to that because it's their schedule, not your schedule for them. And the other thing that's going to be really, really important, and this really is across the board, is people with PWS don't have that intrinsic motivation to do things unless they really want to do them. So we have the typical person will clean their house and the reward is a clean house. The person with PWS simply doesn't have that. It's not that they don't want it. They're not being difficult. They don't, they're not being lazy. These are all the things that you'll hear. That's just not true. They don't have intrinsic motivation to do something that they don't really want to do. They need an external motivator. And, you know, we hear a lot about this, like you're bribing, it's not, it really isn't. They just don't have that internal motivation. So they need something external. So even if there has to be some sort of reward or reinforcer for getting through, even if you break the day up into three parts, after the first part, you did it. Here's your reward. You did it. Here's your reinforcer. After each step of that day, and you could do it every 3 hours, you could do it at the end of the day. It depends on your child. That's going to be something that will help them get into the schedule because, as you know, once they get into a routine, they're in it. It's getting them into it initially. That's the hard part. But once they're in it, they're in it. And then it's going to be getting them back to school when that time comes. But we're not going to worry about that right now. And honestly, if my worry is that there's families out there that think they have to be the new school teacher of the year, right? And they're going to do all the things that they were going to learn had they stayed in school for this semester, these months. That's just not the case. Don't beat yourself up for not being teacher of the year. You're not a teacher, at least most of you aren't. And this is not homeschool. It's not a normal time. It's okay not to feel normal. Don't even try to teach new skills during this time. Focus on review. Make a curriculum based on interests. If they really, really like something, you can do a whole academic hour based on whatever they like. If they're obsessed with Justin Bieber, then make little Justin Bieber coins and you can teach skills. You can teach math. You can learn about Canada, anything you want to know about Justin Bieber, right? That's learning. That's fine to do. Learning will happen naturally if you find something they're really, really into. If the best that you can do is get through the day with every family member having the same amount of fingers and toes that they started the day with, then that's what you're going to celebrate that night. Like literally, you are getting through the day. And that's okay. What you're doing is enough. You don't want them in front of a video game all day. I totally understand that. But if the most education they're getting that day is doing a computer game, they have thousands of them that has some math in it, some reading in it, anything like that, that's okay screen time to do. They wouldn't have been doing that in school. But again, they're not in school right now.
So you mentioned a bit about rewards, not necessarily bribing, but providing that positive reinforcement so that when a task is completed, they get this reward. What about consequences? Do you recommend that they're avoided or should there be consequences?
They really don't work. So I would suggest avoiding them because there's really no success in implementing any kind of consequence. I find that consequences are more for the caregivers. Like it makes you feel better because you're upset or you're disappointed and you want to, you know, give a consequence, but that it doesn't work. So there really is no benefit at all to doing it. It really is just going to upset everybody with no benefit whatsoever.
Right. So let's say you've decided that this week that your child loves Justin Bieber and you're going to put together this wonderful, fantastic math lesson that involves Justin's record sales. Right. And your child decides that day that they're not doing it.
Yep.
Where do you go from there? Do you stress the importance of academics and learning and try your best to motivate them to move forward? Or do you throw up your hands and let them lead the way for the rest of the
Yeah.
for the rest of the day? How do you navigate that situation?
Yeah. I would honestly, I wouldn't even acknowledge it, to tell you the truth. If you put together this lesson plan and they say, whatever, mom, and turn around and walk away, I would find something, anything that they're doing well in that moment or that they did before or that look in the next, you know, hour or so, and really, really focus on what that is that they were doing really well. Because your kids, no matter how awful the day is, they want you to be really proud of them. Right? They want to follow the rules. They want to do what's right. And then all this stuff gets in the way. Their anxiety makes them act certain ways. Boredom makes them act certain ways. But deep down, they really are really, really good kids who want you to be proud. The more you focus on what they're doing well, the more they're going to step up and want to do that more often. I wouldn't even acknowledge that you put all this work into something and they're not going to recognize all that work that you put into it, but I wouldn't be surprised if a day or two later they didn't come back to it. Here's what happens. We spend so much time working on and focusing on what isn't right about our kids, and we have this wish list, right? Like, if he would only read at a higher level, if he would only stop skin picking, if he would only stop refusing to do these things, then things would be so much better. Then we work on it and we work on it and we accomplish it, or maybe we don't. Then we go right on to the next thing with no pause, no acknowledgement of the goal that was reached. And it's on to the next thing that we wish we had. And this is, it's really an illusion of success, right? That we have in our heads that if all these things would happen, things would be so much better. But the truth is, you're already successful at what you're doing. What if during this time we just decide that we're not going to do that? We're just going to stop doing it. We're not going to wish for the next thing. We're not going to work on new skills. We're just going to review what's already going well. No time spent on wishing, no time spent on new goals. Simply look at what you've done, accept it, and work on the review of what they're already doing really, really well. That's going to get you through this time much more than putting a list together of all the things that you want to accomplish. That's just going to frustrate. And honestly, what a nice thing to be able to just sit back and review all the things that we already know that are going well. So if your child is at a second grade math, go back to first grade math and watch what happens when you sit down and see this constant success. One answer correct, another answer correct, another answer correct, instead of frustrating and fighting with what they should have been doing had they stayed in school. Because like I said, you're not teachers, you're moms, and you are the very best mother that your children can have. So focus on being a mom and focus on what they're already doing right instead of kind of pushing for what they could do better.
Right. And I have to believe too, you know, we're all in this together. I'm sure that the schools are going to recognize when we all come back, whenever that might be, that they're going to, you know, our kids missed out on these last few months. They're not going to expect people or the children to have had these miraculous gains without qualified teachers doing the teaching. So I appreciate that we need to keep our kids' minds moving. You know, I really like your idea about just reviewing, let them feel successful. That's really what I think our kids need to feel right now. They need to feel success because that will lead them into a more positive mindset.
We don't do that enough in general, even when they're in school. Like we don't stop and let them review and let them feel really smart about what they've just learned. They learn it and then we immediately go on to the next thing. So they're kind of in this constant state of, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Everyone wants more from me. And we don't pause enough to say, you're already good enough. You're already smart. So this time where we can spend really reviewing what they've already mastered is going to be nothing but good for them.
Mm-hmm. In one of your previous presentations, I recall you addressing executive functioning and how our kids really struggle in that arena. And in observing our loved ones with PWS, I've found, and I hear this all the time, you know, they have a really hard time getting started on things, on projects, mm-hmm. on activities, especially new activities. They like to repeat a lot of the things that they do, but they're not quite as open to starting new things. You know, while we're stuck at home, how can we help our kids or our loved ones? How can we prepare them to participate in activities rather than leading them to their own devices on how to figure out how to spend their time? What can we do so that they will jump into an activity and do something?
The more that you can reward that behavior, the better. Once they get into it, like I said, like if you have a routine throughout the day, even a loose one, where, you know, from 11 a.m. to noon, you're going to do a new activity, right? It's not really what you want to get them into. What you want to get them used to is that routine of here's the time where we're doing a new activity. It's not the new activity that's going to stress them out. It's the routine of the day that's going to stress them out. So if you can do those rewards after each block, however you want to set up your day, then once they get into that routine, it's going to be super hard to get them out of it. So when school comes back, it's going to be really hard to get them out of this new routine that you've started them on. So you can get them really excited about doing something new just by rewarding them for starting the activity, right? So as soon as that activity ends, like here's your reinforcer for doing that. Then once they're into that routine, you're not even going to have to reinforce anymore because they're going to be kind of living to that routine. And it is executive functioning. It's not that they're scared of doing something new or that they don't feel like doing it. They really don't know how to start something new. They truly don't know how to start that process. So if you start it for them and then make it a part of their day, it's just going to be something that they start doing automatically.
Right. Can a reward be something as simple as scheduling a preferred activity after the less preferred activity, or do we really need to be thinking of other types of rewards?
A reward can be as simple as a high five and an I love you. It's just making sure that you do something concrete to let them know that they did a really good job starting and ending that whatever that task is that you wanted them to do. It always helps if you do something preferred after something non-preferred. But when I talk about reinforcers, it doesn't have to be a thing. It can just be an acknowledgement of how happy they made you for doing that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that goes farther than an actual object.
Well, thank you, Patrice, for talking to us a little bit about routines and schedules and helping to get our kids motivated. Do you have any final thoughts on what you would share with our families at home?
What I want parents to leave with and to understand is that you're already doing a good job. Don't try to do another job on top of what you're already doing. Don't try to be a teacher. Try to get through the days. This is hard for everyone. It's super hard for you, especially because you have a child at home who needs a lot of attention, who will take a lot of attention away from your typical children. You're not used to having everyone home all day long. This is really hard. Acknowledge that it's really hard. Do something for yourself every day, even if it's just a bath for 15 minutes. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Because what you're being asked to do right now is really, really difficult. And that shouldn't be, people need to acknowledge that. People need to understand that if you're exhausted, there's a reason for it. And to just take care of yourselves, because you're doing a very, very hard job and you're doing a great job at it.
Well, thank you, Patrice, for your accolades. Again, really appreciate you coming in and sharing some of this information with us. I think the pressure of being a parent can be somewhat insurmountable, especially right now when we are trying to readjust and keep all of our kids moving, right? It's not just taking care of ourselves, but the entire family. So really do appreciate you coming in and talking to us about some of this.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.